Fox News Radio.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 9 points. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. By the way, not only are we broadcasting live on the 50,000-watt station here out of Greenville, South Carolina, WLFJ, which is Christian Talk 660 on your AM dial and also 92.9 on your FM dial. And that goes out into four states, all of South Carolina, parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. So we're broadcasting live there, but also out on sermonaudio.com. That's www.sermonaudio.com. And you can go directly to our page out there, which is www.sermonaudio.com, and then /knowingthetruth. www.sermonaudio.com. I'm getting a little, hey, that's me on there. I recognize that voice. That was Sermon Audio playing right there. Gary just giving us a little taste of what it sounds like out on sermonaudio.com. So there you have it. And you can go out there and listen to the broadcast and watch the broadcast as well. After each one of the programs that we do, we then load up the audio and the video from the program out on sermonaudio.com, and it's available for you out there as an absolutely free download. I was mentioning to the guys here in the studio yesterday that we got some numbers back on the downloads for August, and we had over 5,000 downloads again for the month of August, and about half of those downloads were via mobile devices. And so people are downloading it via their mobile phone. You can actually watch the program on your mobile phone via the app that is given away free by sermonaudio.com. You can go out into the app store and find it there absolutely free. And then you can put Knowing the Truth on there, and it'll come directly to your phone. Now, by the way, let me just mention one more item associated with that is when I say you're watching the broadcast, it's not just me talking there. You know, you just don't get a one camera shot of me standing by, or sitting behind a microphone. That's what's up there right now. But throughout the broadcast, Jim Moline then adds a lot of different graphics in there. So today you'll see images of the authors that we'll be speaking to, and you'll see their book covers and so forth. You'll see websites will be flashed on there, the phone numbers to call into the broadcast and so forth will be on there as well. There's a wide shot being shown right there right now out on Sermon Audio. So there's a lot to see and to take advantage of. It's very interactive, and so I highly encourage you to go out there and do that. By the way, last month we had all 50 states, people downloaded the broadcast, and 63 different countries. Canada was number one, but we also in the top five. Singapore was in there, and the UK and South Africa was involved in the downloads as well there. And so it's all over the world. People are downloading copies of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. On our program today, we're going to talk about something that is vitally needed in our Christian homes today. We're talking about the subject of family worship and Bible study. We're going to have two authors on the program today. First up is going to be Jason Halopoulos. Jason is has written a book called A Neglected Grace, Family Worship in the Christian Home. And Jason is an assistant pastor at the University Reformed Church in East Lansing, Michigan. That's where he's calling us from today. He's married to Leah, and they have two children of their own. And he is also that church there. You may recognize the name because I've had Kevin Young with me on the program before. Kevin DeYoung, I'm sorry. And Kevin DeYoung is the senior pastor there at that church. So we'll be speaking with Jason in just a couple moments about his book. And then second on the broadcast today, we'll be speaking at the bottom of the hour, starting at 11:30. We're speaking to Paul Reynolds. And Paul has written a book called 66 Books, One Story, A Guide to Every Book of the Bible. And Paul is the assistant pastor at First Baptist Church in Grand Cayman Islands. And that church you may recognize as well, because I've had their senior pastor on the program before. Tabidi Anyabwile has been with me on the broadcast a number of times, and really appreciate his ministry and what he's involved in as well. So the common denominator between the two guests that we have on the program today is that they're both authors with Christian-focused publications. And I got to meet the folks that were the founders and the of that publication, of Christian-focused publication. I did a broadcast with them. Just wonderful people. Really enjoyed my conversation with them. So I'm happy that we can promote a couple of their authors on the program today. Their website is www.christianfocus.com. That's www.christianfocus.com. You can go there to find out how you can get a copy of each one of these books that I just mentioned. And by the way, here's a better way for you to get a copy of them. During the broadcast today, I'm going to be giving away a couple of copies of their book. And so if you want a copy of either of these two books, While Supply Last, from the good folks there at Christian Focus, here's what you need to do. You need to send me either a question or a comment as to what we're talking about today, and you can do that in two ways. One, we've set up a toll-free number. It's good nationwide. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. That's 1-888-660-9535 if you'd like to call into the broadcast today. And also, I have email up and running, and the email is very simply just kttradio@gmail.com. That's kttradio@gmail.com. Either way, make sure you then email me your mailing address, and we're going to send the books right to your mailing address. So with that, Jason, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Kevin, it's a delight to be with you, and thank you for having me today.
Well, Jason, let's talk about the subject of family worship, and specifically, you talk in your book, the title there, A Neglected Grace. So right away, it makes us think that this is something that has maybe not been done by many Christians that may be listening to our voice here today, that it's something that at one time was popular, but seems to have fallen out of use. Talk a little bit about that at the beginning of the broadcast, if you would, please.
Yeah, so family worship is something that has a long history in the Christian church. It's something, especially from the Reformation on, that was something that marked Christian homes, and where the family would gather together, maybe the husband or father or mother at home would gather together the entire family, and they would spend time worshiping God, reading the scriptures and praying and singing songs, and would usually do this at least, you know, once a day or two times a day. And I think probably over these last 150 years or so that this has been something that has been waning within the Christian church. We do a great job, I think, in evangelicalism, especially over these past 100 years, of emphasizing the need for private worship or those daily devotions, or that secret worship, as the Puritans used to call it. And obviously we all know the importance of gathering together with the community for corporate worship on Sunday mornings, to gather together as a body and not forsake the weekly fellowship of the saints, as the writer of Hebrews says. But probably the overused analogy, but that three-legged stool, probably the third leg of that stool is family worship, and has been something that we have tended to neglect over the last 150 years or so. And I would love to see this encouraged once again in our churches, because I think, I know that this is something that informs our secret worship and informs our corporate worship, and is something that our homes should be centered upon.
Hmm. Your title, again, is A Neglected Grace. I assume, then, what we mean by grace there is you're talking about a means of grace. And since we're talking about it being a means of grace in the family, what are some of the specific benefits that a family is going to enjoy by practicing family worship?
Yeah, so I think when we talk about family worship, a lot of times, because we have really busy lives and we all feel like our schedules are bursting at the seams, that it just feels like one more thing and some burdensome duty. And what we want to encourage people is that, you know, this is actually a means of grace, that God ministers to us by His Word, and as we come to Him in prayer and as we sing, and that this is actually a means by which He gives grace to His people to grow in righteousness, to fall more in love with Him, to seek Him more fully. And so this is something that we do in response to His grace, and it becomes a delight, just as when we gather together on Sunday mornings or when we get up early to spend time in the Word, that we do so out of delight and in response to His grace to us. And so as we think about family worship, we want to approach it the same way, that this is in response to God's grace and that He continues to give us grace as we meet with Him, and He meets with us by His Word and by prayer, and as we come before Him in song. And there are incredible benefits, wonderful benefits of, I think, centering our homes upon the person of Christ. Every day, think about your family just gathering together for 10 minutes, 15 minutes to read the Word and to pray and to sing. It centers the home upon Christ. It helps to form Christian character in our children. It encourages us and informs us as we go off to corporate worship or private worship. It also gives the family and all the members a common knowledge. And you have something that you're all doing together and the most important of things together. And so it gives you an opportunity to talk about those things through the week and to reflect on different things that you've learned together, to get to know each other better as you're praying for each other and hear each other's prayers each night. So we could go on. There are many benefits.
You know, we've been using the word worship. I would imagine that a number of people in our listening audience say, you know, we've heard this before, but we're thinking more about devotions. That's a pretty popular word, especially in the area of country that we're in as well. There's been a lot about personal devotions and so forth. So what's the difference between using the term family worship between as opposed to family devotions? Is there a difference?
Yeah, there is a difference. My family and I have two kids. My daughter is 8 and my son is 5. Going on 40, I think he thinks, but we do a lot of different things, you know, in our home. My wife will do crafts with them, and we will sit down and read a good Christian book together. I'm also a Presbyterian, and so we memorize the shorter Westminster Shorter Catechism together. Those kind of things are all wonderful, and are things that I want to continue to encourage, and I think families should be doing all kinds of things like that, you know, whether it's snuggling up on a couch and reading Pilgrim's Progress or reading Lord of the Rings or something like that. Those are also wonderful things. But when we think about worship, we want to use the means that God has given us to worship Him, and that's primarily the Word and prayer and song. And so we want to center our time when we gather together each night upon those means of grace, because those are actually the means by which He communicates His grace to His people. And so we want to center it upon that. We can add all the other things in that moment, or even add them outside of it. But especially worship, when we think about it, we want it to be centered upon those things and the use of those means, and our attitude reflect it when we're gathering together, that, you know, what we're doing is we're reverently and joyfully worshiping God in this moment together as a family.
Jason, let me remind our listening audience, first of all, here who we're speaking with. We're speaking with Jason Halopoulos about his book called A Neglected Grace, Family Worship in the Christian Home. It's published by Christian Focus. That's www.christianfocus.com. We are giving away copies of this book during the broadcast today. So if you're interested, if you say, hey, you know, I really would like to know how to do this and why I should do this in my home. Well, we've been talking about the why so far, which is in our interview thus far, and that's what Jason covers in the beginning part of this book. We are giving away copies of the book today, and that number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Jason, I wanted to ask, though, the picture that we're showing of you during our live webcast today on Sermon Audio, it shows that you have two young children. You were alluding to that just a moment ago as well. How did this go for you? A lot of people with young children are going, well, I'm not quite sure that I'm going to be able to sit the children down and going to be able to do family worship with them. I could see they're going to be fidgeting or whatever. What was your experience?
Yeah, it is all over the map, and it's not just my children. You know, I think it's also where my wife and I are at in the day, and but especially with young children, it can be incredibly difficult. I think it can also be difficult, obviously, with teenage children that just don't want any part of it and love to speak their mind. I know my children, we've done different things along the way to help, so. When my children were very young, we would do just very simply, you know, it would be literally 5 or 6 minutes where we're gathering together, and we would just maybe read a couple of verses, and I would have them sit on my lap and have them get down the hymnal. We use a hymnal when we sing a lot of nights, where we would sing a good kids Christian song that they love, like the B-I-B-L-E or Jesus Loves Me, and so we would simplify it in that way. As my kids have gotten older, a little older, we do different things. My son loves to tell who's going to pray in what order, so it's always a big deal. He always wants to do it every night and says, can I say who's going to go in what order? So we do things like that to get them involved where it's something they're excited about. My daughter's reading, and so we have her read the first few verses of whatever passage we're reading, and she's excited to do that and have everybody listen to her read. So we do different things to encourage their engagement and their excitement about it, but frankly, there's a lot of nights that just doesn't go well. You know, we get distracted, or I tell one of the stories in the book, I remember a night when I was trying to explain the wicked way versus the righteous way, and my daughter just couldn't understand the word wicked, and eventually she made the connection, and she said, like the dogs in Bambi 2. She had just watched this movie, and my son at the time was 3, and of course that set him off thinking about the movie, and it didn't matter what we did. We couldn't get back to family worship. Everything was about Bambi. So there are nights we get derailed, and it just doesn't work the best, but as I tell people I've pastored over the years, that's fine. You know, we just got to persevere in it, and this might not be as good as last night or the night after, or we may miss a few nights, and that's okay. Let's just pick it right back up again, and let's persevere through it, and because the benefits are truly eternal. And my family has come to love it. I had to run to the hospital last night. We usually in our family do family worship in the evening. After dinner, and I had to run to the hospital last night to do a pastoral visit for somebody that was having an emergency, and this is a rare night, so this isn't normal, but my 8-year-old daughter was crying and said, well, I wanted to do family worship tonight. So it's something that they've actually come to love, and I think it's because they have our attention, and we are worshiping God, and they've fallen in love with doing this, and it's become a routine in our home and something that they expect.
Well, your book has a number of really good endorsements associated with it as well. Justin Taylor, we've got Joel Beakey, Don Whitney, David Murray, Vody Bauckham, and one from right here just down the road from us, actually, Pastor Richard D. Phillips, Rick Phillips down there at Second Pres in downtown Greenville. He says this, as a father of 5 busy children, I would rarely have time to discuss God's word and pray with them if it was not for structured family worship. What a great loss Christian families have suffered by the neglect of this vital means of grace. Jason Halopoulos' book may lead to a greatly needed revival of family worship. Churches where this excellent book is known and read can only see a growth in the faith of children and parents alike. If your family is not worshiping together in the home, this may be the most important book you read this year. Well, that's quite an endorsement from Rick Phillips, who's been with us numerous times on the broadcast before, an author himself and a conference speaker and pastor down there at Second Pres. Let me remind our listening audience, we're giving away copies of this book. And as I mentioned, Jason's book, first of all, talks about in the beginning chapters of it about why we should do this. He has got a section in here in chapter 2 that says, give me a reason. And then he starts then to give some practical ways of actually implementing this. Jason, you're a pastor, as you just mentioned as well. What are some of the common barriers that you see that are raised by people that come up when they try to implement family worship in their home?
Yeah, I think the first, and we've alluded to it, but it's the time. I think a lot of people just say, we just don't have the time. We have busy schedules, and there's all kinds of things encroaching. We have soccer practices and ballet practice and working long hours, and we're either tired or just don't have the time. And, you know, if we think about that and we think, yeah, all of our lives are busy. There's no doubt about that. But when my children especially leave the home, and even as I think about my responsibility to nurture my wife, as I think about these things, I think, what is it that I really want them, my children, to have left the home with, and what is it that I want my wife to think about when she thinks about our home life together? I want them to think about the fun times that we have, laughing, watching, my family likes to watch cooking shows or playing board games and things like that, but what I especially want them to remember is that our home was centered upon Christ, and that worship was not just something that mom and dad did on Sunday mornings. And it wasn't just something that they spoke about doing with all their life, but it was something that they centered our home upon. And it was something that helped to set our schedule throughout the week. And we made it a priority. And that's what I want my kids to leave the home with, thinking about. So I think that time is probably the biggest one. I think the other is just the feeling of inadequacy, of saying, I'm just not real comfortable reading the scripture. You're a pastor, Jason. That's great. But reading the scriptures and answering the questions of my children, or even singing together, these are things that I'm not exactly comfortable with. I just want to encourage people out there that are struggling like that just to say, it's not rocket science. Just take a short couple of verses, a passage, and just read through it. And if you don't feel comfortable talking your way through it or asking questions about it or interacting with it, that's fine. Just start reading the Word together and, you know, pray the Lord's Prayer together, or take some of the prayers from, you know, the Puritan paperback Valley of Vision book or something like that, where you just begin to pray together. And as you begin to do this regularly, you will begin to get more comfortable just reading and talking through the passage together. And as you begin to pray more in your private life and also in corporate worship, it will begin to inform that family worship, and prayer will come more easily. And I think we just make it so complex that it often makes us shy away from doing something that is beneficial and I think necessary if we really want our homes to be centered upon Christ.
It is remarkable how just a single Bible verse, you know, implanted in our mind as we meditate upon that verse, how we can glean so much from it. Just one Bible verse. Just yesterday, I bumped into a friend, and so we got talking for a little bit, and I just said, just an acquaintance, really, and I said to him, yeah, I'm really tired today, and then I just said, you know, just a little tough getting going here this morning, and then he says to me, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Just the type of friend you need, right? You know. Yeah, what a friend. But I kept, right. I kept thinking then, as I, you know, I left there going, well, thank you very much, you know. Yeah. I could get something like that from my doctor, you know, that type of right. encouragement. And so anyways, I walk away, but I couldn't stop thinking about that. And I, yeah, that's an interesting Bible verse. You know, go to the ant, you know, thinking about the ant and the industrialness and so forth. And so just one Bible verse offhand, you know, almost backhanded with that one. And yet it was able to minister to my soul just thinking about that. So your point about this doesn't have to be R.C. Sproul systematic theology lesson there in family worship. And we just need to open up the Word of God, share the verses that are there, and, you know, read through the Scriptures and let the Word of God do the work. Jason, excellent book. I appreciate you writing this book and appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us here. I pray that God would mightily use this book in the lives of Christian families all across the country and around the world.
Well, thank you. It's been my delight to be with you today, and may the Lord bless your continued ministry there, and thankful for your service for the kingdom in this way. So thank you.
Thank you so much for those kind words. We appreciate it. That was Jason Halopoulos, and we were talking about his book, A Neglected Grace, Family Worship in the Christian Home. Again, it's published by Christian Focus Publication. That's www.christianfocus.com. That's www.christianfocus.com. We're going to go ahead and talk to another author here now. Paul Reynolds is up next. We're going to speak with him about his book called 66 Books, One Story, A Guide to Every Book of the Bible. Here's something you could use for family worship as well. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Will the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts rule against the Pledge of Allegiance? On the next Janet Mefford Show, we'll get some perspective from Diana Verm, attorney at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. Plus, Michael Ferris, chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, will join me and tell us more about that German homeschooling family who had their kids forcibly removed by the state. That and so much more. Join us next time for the Janet Mefford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lampman from Ligonier Connect. I hope you are enjoying some of the great teaching here on RefNet. If you'd like to increase your faith by studying the Scriptures and interacting with other believers who desire the same, Ligonier Connect may be for you. It's an online learning community that you can experience whenever is convenient for you. You can access the courses on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Watch lectures from trusted teachers like R.C. Sproul, Sinclair Ferguson, Robert Godfrey, Stephen Lawson, R.C. Sproul Jr., Stephen Nichols, and others. Engage in discussions with your fellow classmates by sharing your thoughts, answering their questions, or asking your own. There is so much opportunity to grow in your knowledge of God's Word. In fact, there are more than 45 courses to choose from. So give it a try. Join the over 12,000 other Christians who are learning together. It's only $9 a month, and you can cancel anytime. Go to ligonier.org/connect to learn more.
Hi, this is Bill from Just Right Auto Repair. We're a locally owned, independent automotive repair center. You will never hear any gimmicks from me. Everyone knows there's no such thing as a free oil change. We just want to help you keep your car safe and on the road. Please call us at 242-1961. You have my word that we will never try to sell you anything that is not needed. I will be happy to show you anything that we might recommend. Call me at 242-1961. That's 242-1961.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. I mentioned at the top of the hour that we'd be speaking with two authors today. First author up was Jason Halopoulos. We were speaking with him about his book called The Neglected Grace, Family Worship in the Christian Home, published by Christian Focus Publication. Jason is a co-pastor there along with Kevin DeYoung. at the University Reformed Church in East Lansing, Michigan. And now we're going to talk with another co-pastor. This one is a co-pastor with Tabiti Anyabwile in the Grand Cayman Islands. And he's calling from the Grand Cayman here this morning. And we're going to speak with Paul Reynolds about his book called 66 Books, One Story, A Guide to Every Book of the Bible. And we were just talking about family worship, and, you know, sometimes that people are intimidated by family worship. Well, here would be a really good resource for you to at least get an overview of what each one of those 66 books of the Bible is about. I actually did something like this with my own congregation. I did the 27 books of the New Testament Scripture. I took one Sunday each week for 27 weeks, and I did an overview of each one of the 27 books of the New Testament Scripture. And then I went back, and we started then in depth on selected books of the New Testament Scriptures to do a more in-depth study of those books. In fact, right now, we're in the book of Hebrews, and we're doing an expository study through the book of Hebrews as well. And so I recommend this idea. You know, you take a broad brush overview of the Bible, and then you can go back and go into more depth into each one of these books. As I mentioned, Paul Reynolds is the assistant pastor of the First Baptist Church of Grand Cayman. He and his wife, Rachel, have two young children, Jude and Alice, and he enjoys photography and writing about watching and coaching baseball. And so we could talk about that a little bit, but I think we're going to try to focus on his book here primarily this morning. Paul, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Good to be here.
Paul, tell us, what was the impetus behind writing this overview of each one of the 66 books of the Bible?
It was from doing family quiet times, family Bible times with my son Jude at the time, our older child, and just having a sense that as we kind of worked through the various different children's Bibles and children's storybook Bibles that we'd been looking at, that he'd kind of gotten to the age 5 or 6 where I was looking for something that was going a little bit more in depth about the meaning of each book, and trying to get something that wasn't just about the key narrative portions of Scripture. And it really, just looking around different things, using some great materials, but not being able to find quite what I was looking for personally, I thought the best option was to write it. I think the final push was when I was reading passages from Scripture from the full text of God's Word and kind of paraphrasing it as I went and thinking, well, this is a kind of a great challenge and I'm enjoying doing this, but I'm not sure it's brilliantly reliable. It's not a great way of doing it, and without kind of making errors or just failing to give him a good picture of what God says. And I wanted to make sure I was giving him a good and accurate picture of what God was saying. So ended up writing something, one way of dealing with that issue.
Well, that process that you talk about of trying to take a either a passage or, in your case, an entire book of the Bible and to boil it down into a summation, that is a good process to go through, isn't it? I think that's very fruitful. I do the same thing in my own preaching, you know, where I'm taking a passage of Scripture and then I'm trying to say, what is the kernel, what is the truth being taught here? I need one propositional statement about the doctrine that is being put forth in this passage. So I think that's a skill that really has been very good to develop. Do you find that to be the same as well?
Absolutely. I mean, both from a preaching standpoint, as you say, not merely trying to give folks, you know, here's a bunch of stuff I learned in my study this week, but, you know, what is a thing that God is trying to teach us from this portion of his word? And there might be multiple a things, but, you know, rather than just sort of drown people in the stuff, look, here is something that God wants you to know that impacts your life right now. And thinking about the whole of God's word, you know, even more so, I thought it was an incredible process. I mean, quite painful at times, but an amazing process of going through, reading through the whole of Scripture, writing notes on the entire Bible, and trying to distill that in a way that was honoring. I mean, it's kind of a scary process as well, trying to distill it in a way that was honoring and faithful, but invaluable for me personally. And I mean, it's the kind of thing that I use it repeatedly myself. Going back to my notes and looking at,
What was God saying in Habakkuk? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of sentences. What was he doing there? And just finding out quite how repetitive God is in ways that in retrospect seem obvious, but weren't at the time. And yeah, is a great process to go through.
Let's talk a little bit about the format then that you use in your book in order to convey what you found there. Tell the listening audience what a typical page or passage would look like, and some of those elements that are there in that passage.
Sure. I mean, for each book of the Bible, I've kind of given a subheading, which in some cases was what the original name of the book was. So, for example, what we know is the Book of Numbers was originally called In the Desert. So I've used that as a subheading. A little introduction, 2-3 sentences, just try and get folks kind of engaged with what's going on. Trying to get them involved in the context of where this is coming from and who wrote it. And the next portion, 350 words, is really the Bible book in that many words. Not a description of it third hand or in the third person, but just as if it was the Bible book in that number of words. And then crucially, I think, in terms of trying to help folks engage with it, is trying to take three key lessons from that book. And show also with Bible references how that is repeated throughout. I mean, God says almost nothing once. Hmm. Most of what we learn from Scripture is scattered throughout Scripture. So, again, just looking at Numbers, the first thing I pulled out from Numbers that was obviously a key lesson for us to learn is that God always keeps his promises even though we don't. Hmm. And so the section after the overview is one of those learning points. Multiple Bible references where we can go into God's Word and see. Look, these are other places where we can see that truth come out, and then questions. And the questions after that either are designed to provoke discussion, or they're designed to kind of reinforce a key truth, or sometimes they're questions designed to help us understand if we're doing it for ourselves, help us understand what we really think about something, or for parents doing it with their children in family devotions, is trying to help parents identify with their children what their children really think about something.
Hmm.
And then the last main section I've got there is something called Salvation Thread. And one of the key reasons for doing this and the key learnings from the whole of this book is that God has a thing he is trying to say. There is the great theme of God redeeming a people for himself. And the Salvation Thread is really saying, how does every single book of the Bible feed into that grand, overarching narrative, which, in terms of researching and writing this thing, was one of the great joys of it, seeing just how God does so much to talk about that. You know, this is who he is. This is what he's doing. In many respects, it's really not complicated. He talks about it a lot.
Mm.
He's got 2,000 years of doing it in the Old Testament for us to learn from before the great moment when Christ came.
Hmm. Amen. I love that. I love the idea that you have that salvation thread in there. For instance, we were talking about the book of Numbers a little bit as you were alluding to that as an example. You gave the first one there of the lessons that came out of your study, and it was God keeps his promises even though we don't. You mentioned that. Second one was God punishes disobedience. So you make reference of that, and then you give Bible references there, not only from the book of Numbers, but from other passages of Scripture. And then the third lesson there is we can trust God more, even when we're scared or sad, by thinking about what he has done. And so you draw that principle out of Numbers 14 and teaching that to the children specifically, that even when, you know, it's not convenient or it's difficult times that we're going through in this life, we can trust God. And one of the things that we can use is that God has been faithful in the past, and thinking about what God has done and drawing from that. It reminds me of David and Goliath, where David, when he's going out to do battle with Goliath, he says that the Lord has already delivered the lamb out of the mouth of the bear and the lion. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? So he argues the exact same way as you're mentioning here in the book. So those are really good, important points. I love the way that you do that.
Great. And that was one of the great joys of reading through the Old Testament. I mean, it is seeing that many years, that many instances of God's grace and love and mercy and patience with his people.
Mm.
And the amount of times they thumb their noses, they just go, they ignore his promises, they ignore his faithfulness, and they forget, they reject, they go into idol worship, they're just terrible so many times. And yet, so many times, God's response is, in part, it's the discipline that second point from Numbers speaks about, but it's also the promise of restoration and the reiteration. I made that promise, I'm keeping that promise. You have been faithless, I remain faithful. And when you see that happen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament, it's a fantastic reinforcement of our new covenant promises. So I've taken more joy out of the Old Testament now than I think ever before, just by being absolutely staggered with God's patience and love written large over so many years and so many times.
Mm. Amen. I was mentioning that I've been preaching through Hebrews, the verse this past week that we were looking at was 17 and 18. We're in God more willing, more abundant. I'm sorry. We're in God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So speaking about that, the faithfulness of God, and like you said, his patience there with us, and that telling us that we can trust him, and he's condescended in order to show us in so many different ways. It's just such a, it does leave us with a strong sense of consolation, a sense of confidence and comfort after reading God's word. Let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with Paul Reynolds. Paul is the author of a book called 66 Books, One Story, A Guide to Every Book of the Bible. And I mentioned that Paul is the assistant pastor of First Baptist Church of Grand Cayman. And the book is published by Christian Focus Publishing, and that is www.christianfocus.com. You can go out to their website in order to find out more. In fact, for the last couple minutes of the broadcast today, we've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast, but let me tell you that I am giving away copies of this book today. So if you'd like to get a copy, for your question or your comment, be happy to have a copy mailed out to you, courtesy of the good folks there at Christian Focus Publishing. The ways that you can do that, we've set up a toll-free number. The number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I know it's good even in the Grand Cayman Islands because our guest today, Paul Reynolds, has called in on that number. So I know that that number is good. And so you can use it there as well. And plus, I have email up and running, and the email here is kttradio@gmail.com. Be happy to take your question or comment via email if that's more convenient for you, and then we'll mail you out a copy of the book. Let me read what Tabidi Anyabuile, the senior pastor there at Paul's Church, says about the book. He says, this book is written to equip children and parents in a holy ambition of loving Christ more than anything else. And that happens, I think you can say that confidently, because that happens when we become more acquainted with the revealed revelation of God's word. When we do that, the byproduct of that is that we love the God of the word. And so not only do we love the word of God, but the God of the word is where our love is. Paul, let me ask you, was there a particular book then in your study that when you got to that, you boiled it down to that kernel of truth that was there in that particular book of the Bible that it really ministered to your own soul? You know, you said, well, I've never really looked at that book that way before, but now after putting myself through this process for this project, I see this in that book. Is there one like that?
Well, about 66 of them, really. I mean,
you're an honest,
the process of all of the books.
You're an honest man, Paul.
I mean, it was a different books gave me kind of different experiences of it. I mean, for example, reading through some of the major prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, was kind of an awe-inspiring experience, you know, particularly reading through Jeremiah and his woe to this nation, woe to that nation, woe to the other nation.
Mm.
And you get to the end of that, and it's just so intimidating. I think the experience of intimidation, not that it ended in intimidation, because, you know, as Hebrews talks about, you don't sit in remorse, you don't just sit in, oh, no. You go on to the grace, and I think getting that overwhelming sense of God's holiness from some of the major prophets, and part of the way that happened in the process of writing it is that I wasn't reading these individual books over long periods of time. I tried to make sure I read a Bible book in just a few days, and Jeremiah took me the best part of a week because I was writing notes on it the whole time as I went. And that was an overwhelming week,
mm-hmm.
just because you sit under it so much, and you get into the historical background of it in such a close way that it really impacts you. And then books like Ezekiel, for example, where you're having a similar kind of awe-inspiring, somewhat downbeat experience for much of it, And you get right to the end, and you feel like, okay, I've got to the end of Ezekiel, and I'm learning some powerful lessons about God's holiness and about sin. And the end of Ezekiel is one of my favorite bits of the Old Testament, because God's, after all the prophecy, he's then giving instructions about dimensions of the new great city to be built. And you think, it kind of feels like you've gotten to a dry portion. You know, the main bit of prophecy is done, and just getting to some instructions, you go, okay, that's fine. Get to Ezekiel 48, verse 35. The circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits. And then he says, and the name of the city from that time on shall be the Lord is there. And your spirit lifts. You suddenly go, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of everything he's been saying. And without having read the 48 chapters, it's a good verse. But when I've just read those 48 chapters of Ezekiel in the last couple of days and kind of been flattened by it in a good way, but flattened by it, to then read, the Lord is there, and you go, yes, that's why he's doing this.
Mm.
That's what the whole process is about. That's where we come back to in the Gospels. That's what where we come back to in Revelation. And the joy of that isn't something that just turned up 2,000 years ago. The joy of that has been written from eternity.
Mm.
And so I guess to properly answer your question, maybe Ezekiel is it, just because of the last few words, that real experience of the consistent message of God's redeeming grace on his people, and the fact that he always has his love for his people in his mind when he's doing everything he's doing.
Amen. God is the gospel, right? I think it was Piper that wrote the book said that as well. What about the feedback that you've received from others? Maybe some right there in the church in the First Baptist Church of Grand Cayman. You know, have you received feedback from parents that, you know, have said, you know, this has not only helped me with my children, but it's helped me myself? What sort of feedback are you getting?
That really. Several people have written to say that they've been using it in, for example, men's study groups or small group situations. And much as you were describing before this section of the broadcast about your going through a week by week of the 27 books of the New Testament and then diving into more depth, I think a number of people are using it like that for a small adult groups, is using it as an overview and then going on to dive in, and which kind of is the point of it, really. It's not supposed to be an end in itself. It's really supposed to get you hungry for the real thing, rather than being a kind of read it and put it down and go, okay, that was fine, you know. So a lot of the feedback has been like that, and kind of being useful in opening up what people just haven't read very much of. And that was kind of one of the original drivers, is that we just don't, for children's audiences, we just don't see very much material on the bits that we as adults don't go to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as adults don't gravitate naturally to Leviticus and Nahum, or really any of the prophets in a major way, or any of the books of the law outside of the narrative in the first part of Genesis and the first part of Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't naturally and intuitively gravitate to those things, when it comes to family devotions, it becomes entirely unnatural to go, okay, kids. Now we're going to be looking through the 12 minor prophets. That's what we're going to be doing over the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know it yourself. You're not comfortable with it yourself. And for the best motivations in the world, you want the kids to be engaged and loving it. And you think, well, the best way to do that is to go to Gospels and Samson and Noah and Jonah and stuff like that, where there's exciting pictorial type mm-hmm. things going on. And so I think a lot of the feedback has been around how it's opening up the bits that we don't naturally understand or naturally go to ourselves, as you said, both for the kids and for the adults as well.
Mm. I have experienced that in my ministry as well. I actually had somebody in the church who had told me that they didn't see any need really for the Old Testament scripture anymore. When they'd come by, and were there at the church, and yeah, they didn't see the need for the Old Testament, which I was just shocked, and very concerned, and said, well, we need to remedy this right away. So I've been, not only did I do the 27 books, but I do periodically books in the Old Testament as well. In fact, we did a verse-by-verse study of all 176 verses in Psalm 119. I wanted to give it a good overview. How do you do an overview of 150 Psalms? I thought, well, here's a good overview, right, smack in, with Psalm 119. And I think that even my study now in Hebrews was designed, I wanted to do a New Testament book, but I wanted to do one that leaned heavy upon what happened in the Old Testament so that we could see the connection between both Testaments and how they both fit hand in glove together. And so certainly you get that in the book of Hebrews, no doubt about it. And so I think that's so important. Paul, your book, I think, is going to be a real asset to so many families and churches across the country and around the world. I pray that God would mightily use it. I thank you for putting yourself through that effort, as enjoyable as it was. But I thank you for doing that, and thank you for taking the time out to visit with us to tell us about it today on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you very much, brother.
Okay. That was Paul Reynolds again, and the book that we were talking about is his book called 66 Books, One Story, A Guide to Every Book of the Bible. It's written by Paul Reynolds. Again, Paul is the associate pastor at the First Baptist Church in Grand Cayman. The senior pastor there is Tabidi Anyabwile, if you're involved in any of the Reformed conferences and so forth, and you know the name Tabidi Anyabwile. He's been at some of the conferences, like at Ligonier's Conference and so forth. And so he's the senior pastor there, and Paul is assistant pastor. And we're talking about this book because this was just like the first one that we talked about in the first half an hour. They're both published by Christian Focus Publishing. That's www.christianfocus.com. That's christianfocus.com. And you can go out there to find out how you can get a copy of either one of these two books. During the broadcast, too, I mentioned about what I was preaching on at the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, which is the church that I pastor. Let me give you an invite to come to the church this Lord's Day. If you're looking for a church home, we're located out in Traveler's Rest on Highway 25 and Blue Ridge Drive in Traveler's Rest. That's right on the corner of that location. If you want more information about the service times and about exactly how to get to the church, you can shoot me an email. The email address is kttradio@gmail.com. That's kttradio@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to give you all the specifics. But let me tell you just briefly here, our Sunday school is at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then our worship service is at 11 o'clock a.m., and we're continuing in our study there in Hebrews, and we'll be looking at the end of Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in Hebrews chapter 7, which deals with the high priestly work of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that book of Hebrews is where we find the encouragement that says, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so there's the encouragement to, as the people of God, we should be getting together with the people of God to hear the word of God preached and to take advantage of the means of grace. So do that this upcoming Lord's Day. And remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.